All right, here we are, another Friday, another edition of the Dan and Dalton College Football Show podcast. We put it up every Friday morning at 9 during the football season. And you can hear us 8 o'clock every night on FM Talk 1. I'm sorry, 8 o'clock every Friday night on FM Talk 106.5. And I said it earlier this week on Mobile Mornings, you know, that show we do.
Yeah.
6 to 9
a.m. That other thing.
That other show. And I said it earlier, but quarter of the way through the regular season. Yeah, I know it's only 3 games, but in 3 more weeks, we'll say, hey, we're halfway through the regular season, and time flies.
And also, if you listen to Mobile Mornings and you're wondering about the strength of our friendship, look, coming off last weekend, Georgia, you know, winning and a heartbreak loss by Tennessee.
Yeah.
But I look out for your feelings. Mm-hmm. I'm careful. I don't gloat, do I?
No.
I don't gloat.
No.
And so that's why.
You're very kind.
That's
unlike, you know, another friend we have here at the station, yeah, who's a fan of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
He
even jumps into our rivalry.
I know.
To start some crap.
He tried to start stuff with a text on Saturday, and I shut it down.
But remember how, so you and I, and so many of you go through the same thing. You have friends or you have family, and you root for different teams. And while we take college football seriously, yeah, you know, my heart hurts a little too much when my team loses.
Mine does too.
And I'm well aware that could potentially be a character flaw in me. That I take it so seriously.
It's not. Look at everybody around us.
But we've seen stories where after like Auburn, Alabama, people get shot in some households. And I wasn't close to pulling a gun on you this weekend. Nowhere well, close to it.
That's such good news. I'm writing it down.
But what's
Dalton was not going to shoot me.
But what's important between friends, and this is just a
little advice,
a PSA of sorts. It's best if the friend that's on the losing side of the rivalry,
yes,
is the one to re-break the ice the mm-hmm. next day. You let your buddy, you let your family member know, hey, the past is the past. I'm still not feeling great after that loss, but feel free to talk to me again as a friend.
You did that.
I did that with an AI video. Well, we don't know if it was AI or not. Let me be clear on that. This might have actually been what Josh Heupel was saying after the post game on Saturday when Tennessee lost to Georgia. I don't know. Let me play this clip because this is what I sent to Dan to say, hey, everything's good now. I'm not heartbroken anymore. Josh Heupel, after the game, absolutely dogging out his kicker. Let's see if I can play this.
Kicker ain't getting no post-game meal. I already done ate it all. Our kicker plays for the Tennessee Volunteers, but after today, that dork is going to be volunteering for a job at a dad, gum chee cheese. Honestly, I was distracted the whole game. And all that orange and white in the stadium looked like sweet potatoes and yogurt. Had me feeling hungry. Now that the game's over, I can concentrate on my one true love, and that's brisket and taters. Since we didn't beat the shit out of Georgia, we're going to beat the shit out of our kicker just as soon as I'm done here. Our kicker was more nervous than me at a weigh-in. I knew his 14-year-old looking ass was going to miss it. Bet you never thought our fans would miss Butch Jones. But here we are. I'm going to go watch that fight. And I don't mean Terrence Crawford and Canelo Alvarez. I mean all our offensive linemen on that kicker's ass.
So, our kicker, I don't know if that was really in the press conference. Part of me thinks that might have been artificially intelligence, yep, generated.
Yes.
But, so that's how I broke the ice on Sunday. Hey, everything's good. But what a game between those two teams.
Hey, and also it was a great game. Also, 8-2. You had a great week.
Yeah.
Aside from Georgia winning that game, I didn't have a good week at all.
Yes, so you're talking about our FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em poll.
Yeah.
And things are tightening up atop the year-to-date leaderboard. I wasn't special this week. I was happy to go 8-2, but I was just one of, 10 of us went 8-2.
Okay.
This weekend, and
nobody went 9-1, right?
No, 8-2 is the best we saw, yeah. And it's an issue for me when we're playing pick'em, because some weeks I'll put little to no effort in,
mm-hmm,
and you get an 8-2 week, yeah, like that, just based on vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like after a week like that, I'll start to take it more seriously,
yes,
invest more time, and really think about the games. And then I throw up a 5-5 or a 4-6. It's very disheartening when that happens.
Look, I was talking smack after going 5-5 because for me that was getting off the canvas.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago when I went 5-5, and I was saying, look, now I'm just regaining my sea legs now. Now y'all look out,
mm-hmm.
and y'all looked out right into a 3-7.
Oh,
that was
boy.
Me yeah. last week. So it's tough though when you got the spread in there. It's just not that easy.
No,
I was 3-7. And I barely missed on Georgia. I barely missed on Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, so the two I lost ended up being, and we'll go through these games pretty quickly. I lost the Ole Miss game. It was an 8.5-point spread. And Ole Miss won, but I was expecting, you know, the return to Oxford after winning a relatively close game up in Lexington the week prior. I thought that Ole Miss might show up and use the home crowd to cover that, but they ended up only beating Arkansas 41-35.
No, Arkansas was pretty good. Their quarterback was outstanding.
Yeah, and then the other one I lost there was I took Notre Dame to cover the 6.5, and we all know what happened in that Texas A&M game up there at Notre Dame with the Marcel Reed throwing a touchdown, 13 seconds to go. He had a heck of a game.
How about two of the most exciting games without a doubt over the weekend, and they both special teams played a big role in both of them.
Mm.
Because Notre Dame trying to kick an extra point, and the former quarterback fumbles the snap.
Yeah, former Alabama quarterback, right?
Yeah, former Alabama quarterback, too. And then, of course, with Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
42, which was going to be a 37-yard field goal. Then you have the penalty, move it back 42. But it looked relatively easy, and he missed the kick.
It looked easy if you were watching everything during the game except the kicker before he kicked. Because I don't know if I've seen a more terrified collegiate kicker walking out onto the field and up to the ball. I wasn't talking to many Volunteer fans while the game was going on, but I bet we all had the same thought in mind.
Yeah.
There's no way he's going to make this kick.
Well, you didn't know that for sure, but he did. He did. He looked pretty frightened and overwhelmed, and he never came close. But, hey, in overtime, he nailed one.
Drilled the same exact field goal.
Right.
But were you surprised? I mean, it has to feel good. Not that Georgia gave up as many points as they did.
Mm.
But that they were just able to respond, even when down 21-7 very early on. I mean, the Vols put up 21 in the first quarter, three straight touchdown drives. And I think I would imagine you Georgia fans were going, uh-oh, we're going to get paid back for these 8 years of wins in a row all in one game.
Yeah.
And this might end up being a blowout going Tennessee's way. But to see Gunnar Stockton, and of course, I think 95% of the credit has to go to the greatest college coach in the game right now, Kirby Smart. That's just unbelievable performance from him and from Gunner.
Yeah, certainly a 21-7 and a quarterback we don't know what to expect from. A lot of doubts, but I'm sitting there basically saying, well, let me watch it play out, see what happens here. Maybe they get the run game going, which they did in the second half. Maybe Gunner's not so bad, which he's not so bad as it turns out. So it was an interesting game. Georgia's defense, highly maligned for their performance, but when you think about it, they played about the middle part of that game very well.
Mm-hmm.
Second and third quarter, Tennessee really didn't do much at all after that fast start. So I know there's four quarters in a football game. I get that. And Georgia gave up a lot of points, but we'll see. I think the defense can be fixed. I think Tennessee's a very unique offense, and maybe they won't run into that much of a problem again.
Well, and one thing for Bama fans that are listening or anyone else who's a fan of a team that's playing Georgia this year, especially these next few weeks, one thing you kept bringing up was the right side of the Georgia line and how Herring, who's not as well-known a name as Josh Josephs is on that Tennessee defense or Arian Carter or some of the DBs we have like McCoy or Boo Carter, Herring ended up being the biggest factor on that defense on Saturday.
Georgia's offense, right side of the offensive line, tackle and guard, replacements that were just not up to any. They were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Georgia to be able to put 500 yards offense when half, when one half of your line is atrocious, that's almost a magic trick.
Yeah. Bama covered, which was good news for Bama fans. I think what they like even more is seeing Ryan Williams get back to the kind of performance you expect from Ryan Williams.
Yeah, five catches, 100-some yards, 160
165,
yards.
165, yeah, and two. And he did that move again that is just the most graceful I've ever seen a receiver move. and he's done it multiple times, that sideline catch, hop back, and then back to full speed in the blink of an eye. No one moves like that.
Fred Astaire, you know, is the only one that comes to mind. He didn't play football.
I don't know if he even liked it. He probably did not.
Many professional dancers do not.
But there have been football players that have, if they're serious about their craft, they take some ballet. They take some dance classes.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's – I just remember watching Mr. Rogers and Franco Harris was in an episode doing ballet. That has stuck with me for 30 years,
okay.
By the way.
Right.
Clemson at Georgia Tech, and how about, I mean, Dabo Swinney. You go 3 weeks ago, Klubnik was in the Heisman conversation, and Dabo was in – oh, he's got him back. The guy that couldn't work the transfer portal has a team, and look at them. They lose to Georgia Tech.
Now, and which is a good team. They're a good team. Keep an eye on them, but and they're a tough team. But Dabo's pretty much in a straitjacket at this point. He's melting down.
Yeah. I don't know if Jags fans – I take some positivity out of that game against Auburn. They lost
too.
By two scores, so 15 points.
You see, some of the stats were pretty even.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stats were right down the line.
Yeah, turnovers, I think, ended up playing a role in that. But that was actually also, if Auburn fans are like, man, we should have really, really, you know, taken care of business there and beaten South badly. That was a flat, that was a spot in the schedule that could have set up for an all-time flat performance, because this weekend, and we'll talk about the game coming up, but for Auburn to have Oklahoma next up on the schedule and play that game against a feisty Jags Sun Belt team, they did all right.
Yeah, so just look, you got the win. Let's get ready for this weekend.
We're going to go to the break real quick. We'll come back, talk about some more of these games from last week, including what in the world is going on in Gainesville right now. And how soon will Billy Napier be let go? Unless he pulls off the upset this week and gets himself back in the conversation. Also, our conversation with Paul Feinbaum, we'll have that coming up after the half-hour mark. But more Dan and Dalton college football on the way right after this. Welcome back, Dan and Dalton's College Football Show, and you can hear us. Our podcast loads every Friday morning during football season, so you can get it at our website, fmtalk1065.com, or iTunes Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts, we are there.
You want to make sure you listen to us before the games play, because we get some... Our information is very good, because we copy some of the best podcasters out there.
We do.
And rip them off. But you know, it's really interesting is that the people who are now considered, you know, the voices of the Rob Pates and others that are doing these popular podcasts, Josh Pate, I guess, they're not quite spot on either.
No.
As much information as they've got, as many coaches as they talk to, their opinion's no stronger than ours. When it comes right down to it.
No, I mean,
it's not better than ours.
It's the same way, you know, you cover news, which we spend a lot of time doing on the morning show. And I know you and I love our sports and don't always love the news that we have to cover. But you take in information from anyone who you feel has some relevant insight or are reporting on the ground. And then you take your own personal feelings on games or on your how you feel about the news. And then you just broadcast it, and that's what we do. And you and I both have strong feelings about a lot of these games and teams, even if we weren't, you know, checking out some of the information that's already out there.
Yeah, it's, and
it just helps.
It does. It helps, and it's fun. And so hopefully you're learning, because we're giving you information that is not all just originating. For instance, for me, I listen to enough podcasts where I think that I'm able to find out more information so I can pass it along to y'all.
Yeah. We've talked about some of the games from this past weekend. We'll just kind of wrap up our picks and how they did last week. That USC at Purdue game, USC won on the road at Purdue, conference game for them. Didn't cover. I still don't know anything about USC. I haven't watched them.
No, I don't either. Purdue is dreadful, and they weren't able to cover against them. I went with USC, another loser on my ledger from last week.
I think some people were wondering this South Florida at Miami game, whether that – I was wondering whether it would be interesting. I ended up going with Miami and the 17.5-point spread, just because how many weeks in a row can South Florida do that? And that ended up being the case. They were blown out by the Canes on Saturday.
Yeah, so now we look at the same sort of thing with a curious point spread with Florida going in. Now, they again, the point spread, I think, was 17.5 against South Florida coming off that win at Florida. So I'm like, I think they'll cover, talking about South Florida. Did not happen. Now this weekend, that line is down to 7.5.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking Miami's better than that, but
you're feeling there may be a Vegas trick going on.
Something's going on there. So we'll get into our picks for this coming week at the in the final segment.
I think we talked about Ole Miss and Arkansas. The Florida at LSU game, and let's get into that. Scrappy pregame, even to the point where a Florida coach was involved, suspended for 3 games. And with that Florida schedule, any 3 games you knock a coach out or a player – are going to be a crucial stretch because their schedule is unlike anything I've seen in some time. But you had them getting after it before the game, and I think I thought LSU would probably blow them out just because Florida's looked so dreadful this year, and they had every right to blow them out. So many turnovers, and Lagway played so poorly, they ended up only covering by a half a point, winning 20-10, I think.
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with the quarterback, with his labrum or something.
Nussmeier.
Torso,
yeah,
and they're not scoring many points. I mean, the game they won at Clemson, they had 20. This game they won, they only had 20, and included in that was a pick six,
yeah,
a gift from Lagway. So they've got issues, but they're on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you think about it, they were really fortunate to win that game the way it went for them offensively, but it doesn't help Napier's case to lose with that many turnovers. And Lagway, there were such high hopes for him this year. I really think his lack of availability for many of the games last year and practices last year and then this off season, I don't think he was able to get out on the field much, and it shows. I mean, these are still young guys that don't have as many snaps as the Carson Becks of the world.
That's a really good point. He's still kind of young. And, well, look, you don't have to look any further than Arch Manning to find a quarterback where you're just scratching your head saying, wait a second, we saw him in some games last year, and he looked great. They weren't in key moments of key games, but he played some. And when he did, he played very well. And this year, it's just like, who's that guy in Arch Manning's uniform?
Yeah, it's like a golfer that gets the yips.
Yeah.
Is almost, because you know he can do it.
Yeah.
You know Lagway can play well.
Yeah.
And you know Arch can get it done when everything's right. But right now, things not going well for either of those quarterbacks.
No, and it's interesting also, have you noticed that the coronation of Arch goes along with the coronation of Sark and the Texas program and the brand and Sark's this genius, this offensive genius.
Mm-hmm.
He's an offensive genius, and yet Mike Bobo turns loose Gunnar Stockton, who's not supposed to be much of anything, and he tears it up in the loudest stadium in the land. So it's all of this stuff. Sometimes the branding doesn't make sense, or it's not as genuine, it's as true as we're led to believe.
Yeah, some teams are better, and you even see this on the high school level when you're doing your research.
Sure.
Some coaches and programs are really good at talking up their teams going into the season, and whether they full-heartedly believe it or not, I'm sure they do most of the time, but you have many other schools that are maybe a little more realistic, especially if the coach is on the hot seat and he doesn't want to have too high of aims for his fans to believe in. And everything coming out of Florida and Texas has been roses for months and months and months.
Yeah.
So when it goes the other way, it goes the other way quickly.
It goes the other way quickly. Texas is still surviving now. Mm-hmm. Of course, they don't have an SEC loss, and their only loss was to Ohio State, which if you break it down, that was a dreadful game. Now, good defenses, but the offenses were the defenses that good or the offenses were that bad? So, again, just be careful about the way things are presented to you, to us, as this is the truth. You can mark my words. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about Sark being a genius. I don't know about Texas being that great.
And let's wrap this segment up with the final game of the night that was on our pick'em card anyway, Vanderbilt at South Carolina.
Yeah.
And Diego Pavia, Clark Lee, those Commodores late in the game, absolutely putting a hurtin' on South Carolina. End up winning like 31-7. And Vanderbilt, they're finally in the top 25. They are nothing to take lightly for any team this year.
They got some offensive linemen in the transfer portal that are certain types of players. They're more bar bouncers than Vandy students, you know.
Yeah.
So they got some tough guys in the portal that fit the Pavia way, the attitude, and I think you can see that team does have a physical attitude about it defensively as well. And so this you have a team like that. They're dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not as deep as other teams, but their front line is dangerous with a great attitude and a really good quarterback. But who should they be afraid of?
Yeah, and I'm afraid of them being on our pick'em sheet every week because they're so difficult. They're going to win games that they shouldn't win.
Yeah.
Last year they lost to Georgia State, who they have this week. But I just – you know Pavia is going to drag them kicking and screaming because – I think you still look at the rosters, they don't have the same roster that the top seven schools in the SEC do. They're just still not getting the same players, but they have enough now, and then the character of Pavia and some of these others drag them across that line.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
I love it. And being from Nashville originally, born there before moving down here when I was nine, we were Vols fans, just like everyone in Nashville is, mm-hmm. unless you went to Vanderbilt. But still something in me, when Vanderbilt has a good team, I like it. I like it a lot.
How about if it becomes trendy to become a Commodore? How about if Vanderbilt actually begins to recruit and get players inside their door? You're thinking, nah, that can't happen. It's Vandy. It can happen. Mm-hmm. It happens at places like Duke and Notre Dame. You know, they have high standards for academics, and yet they're able to get top players. How about if it becomes cool? Nashville's such a great destination town.
Yeah.
How about if it becomes cool to play at Vandy? That could be dangerous.
That would be awesome. And you know there's some NIL money floating around in that city, that's for sure.
Yep.
Coming back, we'll have our conversation with Paul Feinbaum that we have every week and look back at some of the games from this past week and also forward to this weekend. That's on the way next right here on Dan and Dalton's College Football Show.
It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits. Located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
And Paul Feinbaum on Football Fridays with Feinbaum. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Things are pretty good here, but my name is Paul, not Billy Napier.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know we want to – We'll look ahead to the weekend that's coming, a lot of exciting stuff. But as we rewind to last weekend, we have to start in Knoxville, one of the most exciting football games that I think any of us have seen for a long time.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find that talk show host who's on in the afternoon in Alabama and elsewhere who said that Gunnar Stockton was just a serviceable quarterback. Let me know if you find that guy. But
Is that the same guy that's been handling Arch Manning? They may know each other.
Same guy said Arch Manning would be a completely dysfunctional quarterback in his first four games. It was an epic game. Unfortunately, if you're a Tennessee fan, it just had a very familiar ending. Somehow something always goes wrong, and it's hard to describe the pain that's went across Big Orange Country, but they really did it to themselves. It was a game they probably should have won. Had it won, let it get away, and they're still a really good team, but they may be thinking about that game in December when they're getting ready for the Citrus Bowl as opposed to the CFP.
Yeah, mentally I was in like so many other Vols fans, a tough position and what made it more difficult was it ended on that long review when everyone knew that he had gotten across the line and it was a touchdown. But I'm kind of optimistic. It's great to see the Vols score more than 20 points against Kirby Smart, but to lose that way, it really hurt. But I know a lot of people are saying, hey, this Tennessee team, they still look like a playoff team.
They do, but they just have to simply survive now. They're one down. They still have trips to Alabama. They have a lot of really difficult home games, such as Oklahoma. They go to Florida, which I don't know what that means. Mm. It's not done. I mean, that was never a game you had automatic in the win column. It was just a chance to win. But they do look good, and I don't – they always tell you in comedy, don't punch down. Well, too bad. Tennessee got the better end of the Nico deal, didn't they?
They sure did. Yeah. And by the way, the first words out of Kirby Smart's mouth after the game on national TV was, Tennessee deserved to win that game. So, you know, I think it's good news. The loss stings, but it's probably good news going forward for Tennessee.
It's positive, yeah. Kirby Smart's kind of channeled Bear Bryant and Nick Saban together, because he really does. He's that one coach that always kind of speaks for everyone, and he's very smart to do that.
You know, Texas A&M fans have to be so pleased with what Mike Elko's been able to do in his short time out there at College Station after seeing what the big money man Jimbo Fisher was unable to do for so many years. And that win over Notre Dame on Saturday, last-minute touchdown throw from Marcel Reed, who has planted himself in the conversation these first couple games. But how about that, a 41-40 win over a tough Irish team?
And don't forget, a couple years ago, A&M officials were on their way back from Lexington, where they had hired Mark Stoops to be the next coach. Word got out there was a meltdown in the 3.5 hours it took the plane to get back to College Station, and they told Stoops thanks but no thanks, and here they are. Mike Elko was one of the better hires of last year, of the year before, I should say, and you know they're really in a good spot. I mean that's possibly the toughest game on their schedule, and they've won it now.
Yeah, A&M looks like they're back, and now it looks like Ryan Williams is back, and Alabama's back. Ryan Williams, another classic game, 5 catches, 165 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's the kind of production that Alabama fans are expecting from Ryan Williams week in, week out.
Yeah, no, that was a big deal because I'm not going to read too much into those two games, but what Alabama did was it showed they're capable of being a really great team. And I'd rather see that than just lollygagging around. They can't do anything about the first game, but they do have to make it up somewhere. And a week from today, we'll be talking about the game that they need to make it up, and that's at Georgia, because Georgia is very vulnerable, as you guys saw last Saturday in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very good, and they're very vulnerable. And I think that speaks to a lot of college football, Paul, even the best teams.
Yeah, the thing about Georgia, though, is the defense. It's non-existent, and that does not spell – that spells a problem with Alabama. Alabama's defense isn't great either, by the way, when it comes to elite teams. But I feel better about that game, and you have to feel better if you're an Alabama fan right now, because 2 weeks ago, I mean, it was over. We all said it, and I don't know what Kalen DeBoer did. I have no earthly idea. But he lit a fuse, and you know, this bye week probably doesn't come at a good time. I'd rather see some momentum, but all eyes will be on Athens next Saturday.
Yeah, what a game, and the setup the whole week. On your show next week, I'm almost looking more forward to that than the game and just all the trash talk that's going to be going on. But we've got some good ones this weekend too, and of course, many storylines in this Auburn at Oklahoma game. Both teams ranked, both with transfer quarterbacks that are doing well. Of course, one of those quarterbacks played on the other team just last year, Jackson Arnold. It's his return to Norman, but this is a stacked Sooner squad what they have over there.
It's also worth remembering, remember when Brian Harsin was hired at Auburn, they offered the job to Brent Venables. He said, not a chance. Mm. And he's on the verge of maybe his best start if he can get this win in on Saturday afternoon. And we'll be out there for our show on Friday and Saturday. And I can't wait because there are multiple storylines. I'm happy to see Oklahoma do well because, to me, Oklahoma – it's such a rich tradition, and they were so bad last year, even though they beat Auburn.
They did beat Auburn. And would you say, because Hugh Freeze was on the hot seat coming into the season, that win over Baylor did him a lot of good and then taking care of business these last couple of weeks. You mentioned Venable's bad season last year. Would you classify this game as a must-win for either coach this weekend, or is there still plenty of time for both?
I think it might be more important for Venables because it's at home and there's so much optimism. Freeze, I think, really needed to win the Baylor game. Yeah. Nobody's expecting a perfect season from Hugh Freeze. This would be a tremendous win, but there's so many other games. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to deal with Georgia in 3 weeks, obviously Alabama at home, countless other let me sneak in a game that's going to concern everybody for Alabama and Auburn. and that's Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Now, okay, so that's my next question. So what is South Carolina, where are they mentally and physically? They've got to hit the road to take on unbeaten Missouri after getting completely bullied at home by Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I interviewed the Vanderbilt linebacker the other day who knocked Lenora Sellers out of the game, and he really wasn't very apologetic about the way they played. I mean, he said our job was to shut that crowd up, and they did. It was truly remarkable. And Vanderbilt last year, got off to that hot start, then they blew the Georgia State game, which they had this week. They were yin and yang. Mm-hmm. They kind of ran out of gas at the end of the season. But the bad news for Alabama, again, is they played them pretty early on in 2 weeks. So that's problematic. They're much easier to beat at the end when their depth has been worn down, not in the middle.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Paul Feinbaum for Football Fridays, presented by Bryant Bank. And there's two ideas out there this week regarding football, and I'm in love with both. First, on the NFL side, there's people saying Jameis Winston should just be the emergency quarterback for every team. Like, he should just be a fully floating free agent during the year.
Fly him around.
Because people love seeing Winston come in and play. But on the college side of things, let's just let Diego Pavia quarterback Vanderbilt until he can't quarterback anymore. I mean, they're going to court for a seventh season. And he'll take as many as he can get.
Yeah, I swear I saw him. I was in line the other day for Medicare, and I think I saw him right behind me. that's who he is. He's unapologetic. He's the one that told me a few weeks ago when I laughed at him. He said, we're going undefeated. And I made reference. I said, are you kidding? He said, I don't see anybody cracking jokes around here, buddy. I'm like, okay. That's fair. That's fair. He is a gunslinger out there.
Mm-hmm. He's a tough guy.
So with South Carolina, and they beat Virginia Tech. I know a lot of people said that was a good win. Not looking so good now. Brent Pry is gone.
He can take leaves off your roof full time now, Paul. odd jobs were that you had him lined up for?
Yeah, no, I see. He's actually as soon as we get off the phone, I'm going to let him in because we also need some irrigation work done.
So this is a big week for South Carolina at Missouri, and Lenora Sellers. They're saying he's going to try to play. It looks like. Where do the Gamecocks go from here? Because Shane Beamer, he doesn't exactly have the safest seat in all the land either.
No, the one thing he does have going for him, though, is that with every loss, he can leak the story that he's going back to Virginia Tech to take his dad's place.
Oh, that's true.
This would be a brutal loss because South Carolina was one of those teams that the pundits said was going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But you would hear somebody say that, and then you go, well, yeah, but their Vegas number is like seven and a half. How are they going to do that? I don't believe in this team, and I think Missouri is going to win, and their season, South Carolina season, will be hanging in the balance.
It seemed like almost uniformly all of the voices that we follow with college football preseason had Florida in mind for a lot of good news this year. They've got a lot of people returning. Their offensive line, their defense is good. They have a quarterback that it looked like, after some injuries, this was the year he was going to hit his stride in Lagway, and things have not turned out that way at all. Five picks down at the Bayou.
Only five, so let's not get carried away. he was terrible. I looked at the schedule and made a comment at some point saying, there's I don't see how they get through that stretch, which is the one they're in now. And I got a lot of blowback. Now, I didn't count on them losing the game before this four-game stretch begins.
Right.
So what if I told you before the season that of these four games, which include at LSU, at Miami, at Texas A&M, and Texas at home, that Texas is the easiest game of the group?
Is that amazing?
Right now, that might be their only shot because I don't think they can win the other two.
Man, and if they end this season with not just losses to potentially Florida State, potentially Miami this weekend, but that South Florida loss, I just don't see how the Gators fans feel any kind of hope going into another season with Billy Napier.
You know what they ought to do? They ought to bring Dan Mullen back and see if he'll use some of the buyout money for NIL.
And by the way, at the time I looked at the line, it was only like 7.5. Florida on the road, and they're not. Miami's not a big favorite. I'm kind of miffed by that.
Yeah, it wasn't much different last week in Baton Rouge. It's just that people look at Florida and know the potential, know how many really good. Their only problem is the head coach, I think. I mean, he just gets in the way every week.
He seems to. It's a good thing they don't have University of West Florida on the schedule also this year, the Florida Gators. They could really, really lose to all the teams in the state. Paul, good week. As always, we really enjoy your insight and also enjoy hearing folks yell at each other and the great interviews you have every weekday afternoon here on FM Talk 106.5. Again, we appreciate it and look forward to talking with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
You got it. Paul Feinbaum with Football Fridays with Feinbaum, brought to you by Bryant Bank.
Yes, thank you to Bryant Bank for being the presenting sponsor and letting us talk to Paul Feinbaum every week.
I think Auburn. He enjoys it.
Oh, I know he enjoys it, yeah.
No labor for Paul to chat with us.
That big Auburn at Oklahoma game tomorrow. Again, 2:30 kickoff. You can hear the Auburn pregame beginning at 11:30 right here on FM Talk 106.5 and the Paul Feinbaum Show on every weekday afternoon, 2 to 6, right here on FM Talk 106.5. More Mobile Mornings on the way. All right, welcome back. Dan and Dalton's College Football Show, and appreciate Paul Feinbaum coming on with us and Bryant Bank for sponsoring that segment every week, Football Fridays with Feinbaum. Hope you get as much out of it as Dan and I do because, you know, even if we didn't have Football Fridays anymore, I might just make Paul think we do so I keep calling him every week. Yeah. But always enjoy that.
Hey, guys, it's March, he would say.
So let's get into the games that we have coming up this weekend, and we'll focus on our pick'em. I try to pick 10 games that would matter most to our listening audience.
Yeah, you do a good job.
Try to separate it so you get some 11 a.m. games, you get some 6:30, 7:30 p.m. games, some stuff all throughout the day. But these are the biggest games of the week, and we'll start with an 11 a.m. kickoff, top 25 game here, and Utah, who's ranked 16th, 3.5-point home favorites over Texas Tech.
All right, first of all, that game is 10 o'clock kickoff. In the Mountain Time. I mean, also, Utah, let me give you a little thumbnail of what I think here. Utah, tough darn team, tough, and at home. Texas Tech, they've done a lot of purchasing. They have a lot
of
purchase power, so they were able to purchase a lot of this current team. So they've got more talent than they probably ever have, but I'll go with Utah minus 3.5. They will win, and they will cover the spread.
And I'm going to do something new here, unprecedented in Dan and Dalton's College Football Show. I'm going to make picks as we go through them.
Oh, you don't even have?
I already have general feelings on some of these games, but I'll pick them as we go. And I agree with you with the Texas Tech buying players. And you went Utah, though, right?
Yep, I did.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go with Texas Tech. And I was actually thinking about this week. With the way that the game is ran these days, and you do have teams going out and just raiding the transfer portal, and it seems to be these teams in Texas that have the most money to do so.
Yes, it does.
Texas Tech, I think, spent more than any other school this offseason.
That's right here.
But I was thinking it's going to take a few weeks to acclimate. I mean, you get whatever offseason time you do. But then week one, week two, week three, I bet things start to come around for these teams that paid big money for players. I'm going to take Texas Tech on the road as 3.5-point dogs.
Okay.
We have another one here between two Texas teams that have spent some money on players. And this is a home game for TCU as they welcome Southern Methodist to town, the Broncos, a playoff team last year. But
Mustangs.
The Mustangs.
Yeah,
you're
Mustangs.
Right. The Horned Frogs favored by 6.5 points over the Mustangs.
They're at home. They've got a cool stadium. They've got a great, great support. And I'm going to go with TCU.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with TCU, too. I think especially early in the season, maybe a little too much of SMU's expectations based on the team they were last year.
Yeah, which I agree.
We know is not the same year to year. Here's that line you couldn't figure out, and I can't either. Miami's at home. They're ranked number 4 in the nation. They've looked good this year. They beat some good teams. Florida has not looked good this year, and they're away in Miami. But the Canes are only 7.5-point favorites here.
Yeah. So somebody knows something that I don't know, I guess. But I'm going to go with my gut. My gut tells me Miami wins this by 8 or more.
Yeah, I'm on Miami, too. Don't you think Carson Beck, having played Florida year in and year out, has to amount to something?
I think so.
Yeah, you would think so. And then there's this game, too. If you would have told me at the beginning of the year that South Carolina would be nearly two touchdown dogs to Missouri,
yeah,
I would have been surprised, probably would guess that Lenora Sellers is out of the game. We're still waiting to see if he plays or not, but Missouri's favored by 13.5 at home against the Gamecocks.
In Missouri, I feel a program that is building. They keep adding on to the stadium. They're just they're very NIL friendly out there. They've got a pretty good team, and they have fan support. It's just they are what South Carolina was,
mm-hmm,
and maybe earlier this year South Carolina was what Missouri is. I think Missouri's going to win it at home and also top the spread.
I'm going to take South Carolina to cover that 13.5, and I'm saying that whether Sellers plays, which I would really feel better about it. But even Doty, and you were talking to me about Doty, you said, remember, he was a guy that came in, and they had high expectations for it, South Carolina.
He was a great athlete in high school, dual-threat quarterback, never turned out to be nearly what Sellers is, but a capable backup for sure.
A good enough defensive game from South Carolina, I think, will keep that within 13.5. Ole Miss is at home against a rowdy Tulane team, and the Rebels favored by 11.5 points.
I keep going with them to beat the spread, and they keep saying, no, Dan, we're not going to do that, but I'm going to go with them one more time. Ole Miss wins by 12 or more.
All right, I'm on Ole Miss, too. At some point, the SEC home crowd has to just, be worth several points,
sure,
against a team like Tulane. This is the game of the week for us here at FM Talk 106.5, and you can hear this game on FM Talk 106.5 tomorrow, Saturday. Pregame starts at 11:30 and game time at 2:30 as number 22 Auburn hits the road to Norman to play number 11 Oklahoma. Sooners favored by 6.5 points.
Yeah, I go with the Sooners on this. I think that, they're a really good rush defense. That's what Auburn does best. If they can break out a little bit, if Jackson Arnold can hit some of these receivers with some big plays, and that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to have to do some things in the air and not just do a ground game against this defense, I think.
Yeah. And let me try to thread this needle on my pick, too. I think Oklahoma's overrated.
Okay.
But I'm taking them to cover against Auburn.
Okay.
And
it's fair.
Why I say they're overrated, I have a feeling that I don't think Mateer is completely – he's not Superman. He might end up being Superman. And so far this year he has been. Some team is going to be able to at least limit him.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see, what can the Sooners do beyond Mateer. But I think that Sooners defense, and you haven't seen Jackson Arnold. They've had some good offense. He's not exactly lighting it up through the air right now.
No, he's not. So. He's a great competitor. He's run it very well, but I think it's going to take more at Oklahoma.
All right, we're both on the Sooners. Michigan is an away team playing Nebraska. And the Wolverines are favored by 2.5. Now, side note here, Sherrone Moore serving a 2-game suspension. I think last week was the first of that suspension. What's different here is he hasn't been at practice this week. They completely suspended him from campus for the 2 weeks. So, Michigan, just slight favorites and on the road at a Cornhuskers team.
Ryola. And I'm just gonna guess here that I just think this is such a big game for Nebraska. It's at home. I just like them to at the very least cover, but probably win this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm on Nebraska this week too. South Alabama coming off a tough game at Auburn. They had high hopes, maybe pull off the SEC upset against an in-state school. They didn't. Stayed within the number, but
played
they didn't
well.
Win. Yeah, but this is a tough spot for them. They're back at home, and 14.5 point favorites over what must be a dreadful Coastal Carolina
team. Must be. This is a team that was really good. But COVID year, they were one of the better teams in the country in terms of wins and losses, if you remember, in 2020. South Alabama, 14.5. I just think, they know something. I think they'll be happy to be home, and I'll go with them to cover.
Taking the Jags to cover.
Yep.
Don't listen to this part. I'm going to take Coastal Carolina.
Okay.
I'm going to go with them. Just the line seems long enough. In a flat spot for the Jags. Baylor at home, 2.5 point favorites over Arizona State.
Baylor at home, that's enough for me. I think they'll win by 3 or more. Great quarterback Baylor's got.
Yeah, he's lighting it up.
Yeah
I'm on Baylor too. And then final game in our pick'em this week, Indiana is at home. This is another top 25 game against a highly ranked Illinois squad. They're at number 9 this week. Illinois really turned it on against the team a couple weeks ago. I was surprised.
Yeah, Duke.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They turned it on late and ran away with it. Indiana's favored by 4.5 at home, though.
They're very similar teams. Very, very tough. Very tough-minded. Very physical. Indiana uses the portal more than Illinois does. They're at home. Again, this is a huge game for Indiana at home. So with that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and say that they will win and cover the 4.5.
I'm just going to assume that we're going to see a pretty defensive game here.
Maybe
just not lighten it up on offense. I'm going to take Illinois, 4.5 points, and they're a top 10 team. I'm going to take Illinois to stay within that number. So
got it.
There you go. Now you know who to pick and who not to pick based off of who Dan and I have gone with this week. You get it easy this week. You bye week for your Georgia Bulldogs. You can watch whatever the heck you want to watch.
I'm going to watch what I want to watch. Might do a little bit of the Son of a Sailor Fest downtown Mobile.
Yeah.
Free concert tomorrow.
That's right.
I might do a little action at the fairgrounds.
Yep.
On Saturday
got the
morning.
G&D Farm Expo.
Yep. That's a big deal. So I'll sprinkle football in.
I'm in my Tennessee Vols taking on Trent Dilfer and UAB, so I'm going to check that out a little bit.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you next week. Check us out Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. for Mobile Mornings. And, again, this show every Friday. Have a great weekend, everyone.